This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now it's Douglas County's Commissioner of Dirt with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Here we go, another Wednesday afternoon. The Commissioner of Dirt with really, frankly, close to a century of information to help you with your yard, lawn, and garden.
A century, huh?
It's close.
Oh, yeah, another 25 years, yeah.
Well, that's closer.
Yeah, closer than you, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you're one of them young bucks.
Exactly.
Yeah, probably only once.
They still ask for my ID to buy wine.
Yeah, I can believe that. I, you know, take one look at you and go, I'm not selling him nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, welcome to the show. It's about lawns and gardens and landscaping. And I throw a whole bunch of information out there over the radio, and then if you have a call, a question about what's going on with your yard, or what do you do, or how do you plant, or any of those kinds of things, any question is fair game, and you can call 673-4464, and we'll get you right on.
So I have a question to begin with.
Oh gosh, here we go.
Why did I do some trimming on that tree behind our bedroom, my wife and I's bedroom, in the backyard? Where some of it was kind of hanging over the deck and hanging farther in the yard and all of that. So I did some of that trimming, not a lot, but
this
some.
This is not the one that's the branches hanging over the roof, is it?
Right, it is, but I didn't go that far because I couldn't get to that, but more on the other side. So I started doing that just to sort of clean it up a little bit, and then I realized, A, I can't get to some of the places that need to be done, and now I've created a mess.
Yeah, and you ruined the tree.
I didn't ruin the tree, but I did create a mess, which means it's going to be hard to mow, and I'm going to have to, I don't know, what. I should have just left it until I get an actual professional to come in and deal with it.
Yes, I know that. I know that, and I could have told you that and saved you a lot of heartache and headache, but you never listen, so what can I do?
Anyway. Oh, boy, let me get a violin out.
Oh, well, according to this gentleman standing here, it's supposed to be raining today.
It is.
I don't know where, but I did get a few sprinkles on my porch that amounted to about 1/100th of an inch, and then it stopped. But supposedly, there's some rain coming, I hope.
Well, and wait till tomorrow, because we'll get more of it, and tomorrow night, the lows are going to be in the 30s.
30s?
30s.
How could it be that? No.
Yes, 39.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's not bad.
It's in the 30s, which means out where you live, it'll be like 23.
Yeah, it'll be 15, don't worry. Well, with all the rain coming, it'll turn to snow, and it'll be pretty. So, and that's according to the radio guy, Mr. Kyle here.
And, you know, I'm gonna go check here in a moment, because there was some talk, it might not be till tomorrow, that Crater Lake may actually be getting snow this week.
Huh. Well, you know, it could be. It's only 8,000 foot elevation. It's a little bit closer to the clouds. But I've been praying for rain since last June, you know, and he gives us all this false information about the rainstorms here that we're supposed to get. But as far as I'm concerned, any amount over 2 inches would be very helpful for our county and our forests and our farmers. And even if we got 2 inches of rain in one 24-hour time frame, it would probably only wet the ground down about an inch or two at the most, because it's so dry, and all that dry dry soil absorbs the moisture very quickly, quicker than a sponge ever could. But you know, with the change in weather, fall planting can be started probably without worry or of any extreme hot days. We might have a few days that are get up in the 80s or something like that, but I'd say most of our days are going to get cooler and cooler as we go on, because it's almost, gosh, November's just around the corner.
Oh.
You know? I mean, it's only 2 weeks away, man.
Yeah, that's why turkeys are already on sale.
I know, they are. You know, 10 cents a pound down at Safeway. But anyway, whatever you plant this time of year in the fall, it's going to be strong and well-rooted come next spring, and it'll come out strong, because with this kind of weather, you get it in the ground, and it begins to root out, so that by the time March, April get around, it's fully, not fully rooted, but almost, and then that burst into, oh, blossoms or leaves or whatever type of plant you might have gotten. But it will be strong and it will be rooted. So with good rains, no watering, of course, will be needed until like next April or even May. It depends on how long the rainy season will last. And a small amount of fertilizer would be good when you plant in the fall here. And very small. You know, you read the package directions and it says give blah, 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 and this and this. Well, give half what they say. And don't get it near the stem of the plant. Keep it away from the stem of the plant, kind of on the outer perimeter of your planting hole. And then in March and April or April, another small dose of fertilizer will get your plants growing strong. And if you keep up that kind of regime over the years, you're going to see very healthy plants. And even if a disease comes along or some bugs try to ravage it or anything like that, it's going to be strong enough to withstand most of that. You might have to still spray the bugs or do something else. But, you know, it's if you keep it fertilized, it's going to be pumping and it's going to be pumping out new leaves, new growth, and it's going to be a strong plant. And like I say, with if we have some good rains here in the next few months, no watering is going to be needed on that new plant until like I say, April, May. Depends on the weather again. You never know. We might have a rainy May. Yeah, I've seen rainy Junes here, but not lately, but a long time ago. And a small, like I say, that small amount of fertilizer is going to be good for when you plant. And then, like I say, March, April, another small dose, and your plant is growing strong. And if we get snow or extreme cold weather, the roots are protected. They're not going to, the plants might lose some leaves, but that doesn't mean it's dead. It means the leaves are not strong enough to withstand the cold temperature. But it won't kill the roots because the roots are protected by, say, anywhere from 10 to 12 inches of soil around them, and the ground doesn't freeze down that hard. In fact, the ground very seldom freezes more than a half an inch into the ground, if that, and that would have to be very cold to get there. So you can go shopping for some new plants now and get some more next spring, and you'll see the fruits of your labor. You'll enjoy your yard a whole lot more, and you'll see the coloring in the spring and the leaf growth, the flower. If you buy, say, rhodies or azaleas or something like that and put them in, they're going to look really good. And a few key points for planting: dig your holes, of course, larger than the root balls, by a few inches at least, so that there's when you fill in the good soil, it's going to have plenty of room for to root out into the good loose stuff. And then you want to fill the bottom of the hole with your good potting mix, so at least 3-4 inches deep, maybe more if you want to, depends on how large you dig the hole. And you should dig the hole, like I say, at least 4 to 5 inches wider than the root ball, and fill the sides with that good planting mix as well. And that way, when the roots begin to grow in the spring, there'll be some root growth now this fall with this kind of weather. But as you do that, the roots don't find a whole lot of resistance, so they can just begin to get into that new soil, you know, fairly quickly, so that when spring does finally hit, whatever date that might be, it's hard to predict, it's certainly on its way, and it's going to take off and do really well. And also give your new plants, when you plant them, one watering with like vitamin B1, and then a small dose of plant food around the plant, very small dose. And don't get the fertilizer near the stem of the shrub or the tree, because it can burn the bark and cause damage to the plant. And maybe if it's a small plant, like maybe a small azalea or something, and you get the fertilizer right next to the stem, it could burn the stem, and then, you know, that affects the rest of the shrub. So remember, a small amount of fertilizer is better than a handful, and then you repeat it like in March or April. And you can always add more in a few months. Just always keep that in the back of your mind. Either when you're watering or fertilizing or doing anything like that, always do less than what is recommended on the label, because in another month you can do a little bit more, especially on fertilizer. But watering, of course, you water, when you first plant it, you water it in so that there's no air pockets and the roots are moist and it's good to go. And if it does freeze, if we have some frozen temperatures, and even if it got snow, the roots are still damp enough and protected enough from the water that you gave them that the plant's not, it might get a little setback, but it's not going to die on you. And that's kind of how you look at it. If the soil is dry, that cold will penetrate deeper more quickly, and that's what will do the most damage to your plant. So just get out there and start looking around at some plants that you might like and that would look good in your yard, that would fill in some blank spots that you might have, or if you have some older plants that they don't look so hot. Okay, well, you got a couple of choices there. You can either prune them back and see if they'll sprout new growth, or just dig them out and put them in another place where nobody's going to see them, and put in new plants instead. So, now lawns around Douglas County, with this weather we've been having, they seem to be still growing, and not quite as fast as in April, May, and, and June, but you want to keep mowing them. If they get a little shaggy, until they look like, yeah, they stop. They're not growing an inch a week, or they're not growing 2 inches a week, or something like that. And you can tell when the grass finally settles down. And after your last mowing, a light fertilization of the lawn will help you keep your grass strong through the winter. It's not going to grow anything, but the root systems of the lawn will absorb all the nutrition that's finally gotten down into the root systems. And so, but they store it. They don't use it. Excuse me. They don't use it until the weather and the soil warm up, April-ish or even in March sometimes. And your grass is going to be strong when it comes out and starts growing. In fact, you're going to probably have to mow twice a week because it's grown so good and it's green. It's so green you got to wear sunglasses to look at it. So that's how that would is. And as the leaves around here, they're beginning to fall, and you see your tree branches are visible, and you'll say, oh man, what do I do with all these branches? Well, it needs to be pruned, and you're going to have to get in there and do some pruning. And fruit trees are very important to prune in shape, especially if you have a normal size yard in town. You don't want to. You want to have a semi-dwarf or dwarf fruit trees, and they both produce fruit, a very lot of fruit actually. But you want to keep them pruned to a height and width so that they're not growing into a fence or into the side of the house or into each other. You want to plant them 10, 12 feet apart minimum. 15, 20 feet would even be better. And they'll really produce some nice fruit for you. Properly pruned fruit trees are highly productive and have better fruit. That's all there is to it, because they've got air circulation and they don't have any multiple branch systems so that the air can't penetrate or the sun can't penetrate. But don't be afraid to prune. It's good. It's if you don't know how, hire somebody that does, or go by one of our commercial orchards and see what their trees look like after they've pruned it. Like out in Garden Valley, you go by Cruz Farms, and you can see the different orchards around there. And once they start the pruning process, you can say, well, I've driven by here every day on the way to town or on the way to work or something like that. And you kind of glance and you note that the trees are, X size. And then you see somebody out there pruning. And then you take note after they're done about how much they actually removed from the tree. And these are guys that sell vegetables and sell fruits and sell apples and cherries and all that kind of thing in the spring. And they know what they're doing. They want maximum productivity on their trees, and pruning and fertilization in that are balanced will produce a whole lot of fruit, more than you can eat at home, that's for sure. I've got trees that outproduce what we can eat. So, are we taking a break?
That would appear to be the case.
Okay, we'll be back. If you have a question, 673-4464, and I'll give you an answer.
Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show, 421 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
The afternoon report coming at 5 with Douglas County's news team getting ready for the rain. In the Umpqua Valley, the Commissioner of Dirt ready to take your yard, lawn, and garden question right now.
Yeah, 673-4464. If you got a question, please call. I'll answer it. And it'll be the correct answer. I guarantee it.
Wow, you sound like you're in politics.
Well, I'm sorry. I was at one time in my life, but, you know. But anyway, don't be afraid to prune. And if you don't, like I say, if you don't know how, have somebody come in that does know how and is good at it. Or go by one of our commercial orchards that you see here in Douglas County and see what they do to their trees.
Or look at my backyard and see what not to do.
Right. And Kyle lives on what street? What's
no,
your address?
No, we're not going to say that. Oh, my God. Gosh, are you tired? No.
Yeah.
But it just, you start something and go, why did I start this? Now it's not done, and yeah, it's a mess.
I know. Well, you should have called a professional like me, but you didn't, so
boy.
What can I say?
Hmm.
But there are, what the thing is, there are many books on how to prune with illustrations of the before and after, and you can get them at any one of the box stores, you know, Lowe's and all those kinds of things. And they've got all the latest magazines on how to landscape your yard and how to prune your trees and this and that and the next thing. And they have some great photos in there. Pictures, and here's the before, here's the after, and you can see they took like 50% of the branches out of there and all the small ones and that kind of stuff. Light pruning or shaping can be done any time of the year. That's like cutting your fingernails. Heavy pruning that you need to do, you say your tree is really too big for your yard and you really want to knock it back, that would be considered heavy pruning, but only do that when it's dormant, say from November to March, right in there. So you've got, you know, 5 months, 4 or 5 months right in there that you can do that safely and they'll be okay. Now, skipping to hedges. Hedges are kind of a pain, but like people like them. But they're not easy to prune. They're not an easy deal. Like boxwood, it's a small, it's that real tight, small-growing evergreen leaf, and they need a formal look. You just can't let them grow willy-nilly all over the place because then they look like a mess. So you want to maybe run a level string line on top of the shrub to keep a nice look, you know, from one end to the line to the next, and then don't cut the line while you're pruning them, and don't worry about making a mistake. The shrub or the tree is going to grow back and fill in. Just don't make the same mistake the next year. You learn from your mistakes. And on average, shade trees need little or no pruning unless there's damage or disease, or like at Kyle's house, there was a tree in the backyard and there was a limb leaning over his roof. Well, some of those limbs came down, I guess, over the weekend, and Kyle's been pruning his trees. But shade trees, flowering trees, they all need a little bit of touch-up just to shape them up, make them look better. Don't let a wild branch grow out to the left or the right and upside down and all that. You know, prune it back. Maybe even get rid of that totally. But fruit trees need pruning every year for good production. You know, if you want a healthy apple crop or plums or pears, peaches, whatever, you need to get in there and shape it and prune it and make it look good. And when you look making it look good, you're thinning, like I say, you're thinning out some of the branches so that when it's not thick with branches, air circulation and sunlight can penetrate the entire tree. And if it's bearing fruit, if it's old enough to bear fruit, then that fruit will ripen evenly and easily. And of course, if you keep it in a manageable height, say 8, maybe 10 feet at the most, you might need a small ladder to pick some of it. But if you keep it around 7 or 8 feet, that's okay. When you prune the tops, it spreads. So if it's if the branches are spreading sideways, you don't even need a ladder, for goodness sakes. You just go ahead and pick the fruit. You know, it's waist high or chest high, and it's easy to do. When I first bought my nursery property 100 years ago, it seems like, there was an old orchard there, and it was way overgrown because the folks I bought it from were elderly, and he farmed it for 50 years or something, but he was getting tired. So there were a few overgrown apple trees, and there was one apple tree that for some reason there was this branch that I don't know, it was growing sideways, and the branch itself was about chest high, growing horizontally, and it was like six, seven inches in diameter, and it had all these little branches growing straight up in the air, and it produced some fruit, but there was too many of these twigs in the way. So I got in there and I gave it a good haircut. I mean, I cut the end of it out. I think I cut 4 or 5 feet off the end of it, and then all these little twiggy branches that were going straight up and down, for the most part, I cut like 70% of them out, and then the ones that I had left, I cut in half, so that instead of them being 3 foot whippy little stems, they were, you know, a foot and a half, but they were thick and about as big around as your thumb, say, or your finger. And that following spring, they bore more fruit than I could imagine. But on each one of those stems, there'd be 2 or 3 apples. It was an apple tree. I can't remember what the type it was. But they had 2 or 3 apples on each of those stems. I didn't need a ladder. I didn't need anything. I just stood on the ground and picked the fruit. And they were great. So I kept it that way for, oh gosh, many years until we built our new building. Then we had to clear out all that was back there. But it's good. It's good for those trees. And when pruning fruit trees, there are, you know, several things to look at, you know, like last year's new growth should be cut back, which I just mentioned, maybe about 50%. And the new fruit will be abundant on, and the new growth on the top is usually too small and strong to support a lot of fruit, so you cut those out too, or cut them way back so that they can support the fruit. For instance, like apples get pretty heavy, you know, normal size apple, they get pretty heavy, and if you got too many of them on the new growth, that may break the branch, and that happens frequently. That's why I say, if you go around to like Cruz Farms or some of these other places that actually have an orchard, you can see how they're pruning and what they're doing and what the tree looked like, you know, before, and then you see it on the after look, and you go, wow, why did they cut them so much? Because that makes them bear better. That makes them stronger. That makes them healthier. So cut it back to strengthen the branch, and you'll still get a lot of fruit. And like I say, it's no damage or danger to the tree. It just does a great job. And the reason I mentioned apples is because they're a heavy fruit. And when you get, on a small limb, you get 4 or 5, maybe 6 apples. And if that limb isn't hefty enough to support them, well, you know, that's when damage occurs. So if you have smaller limbs with a lot of fruit on them, whether they're apples, plums, pears, peaches, whatever, thin some of that fruit out so that the branch doesn't break, and you save the rest of the fruit that's growing on that tree. You know, keep an eye on it. Make sure that you're paying attention to it. And there are books, you know, like at the box stores, you can get books on landscaping and fruit trees and all that kind of stuff. And all this that I'm saying, you'll see that repeated in these books. And then you'll see, like I say, the pictures. And, you know, I was always, I still am, if I see a picture of something and somebody explains and says, blah, 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 and I get about 50% of what they said and I think about it. But if I see an actual tree done the way I'm talking about, now I know what you're talking about. Now I see. Or the same with the landscapes, or same with, you know, anything like that. I'm a good visual guy. Like I say, apples are heavy, and too many on the new growth is going to break the branch. So cut it back and strengthen the branch, and you'll stimulate a whole lot of fruit and no damage to the tree. You want to save that tree. With plums now, you have a whole different deal here. With plums, you may have the same problem because plums put a lot of fruit on. You might have, 10 plums that are, you know, halfway, like, probably golf ball size and bigger, hanging on this one skinny branch. And if you don't get them off before they, or thin them out before they fully ripen, that branch might just break, and then you've lost a branch. So pick your fruit, get it in, eat it, can it, stew it, cook it, whatever you want to do. But cherries not so bad because if you get large batches or bunches or whatever they say of cherries, you've got to do the same thing. You want to keep an eye on it. You know, just don't want to let nature take its course, because so many cherries adds X amount of weight to a certain branch and go, gosh, that's good, but. When you're pruning, you know, cut at least a third of the new growth out, and at least a third, maybe half of new growth. Let's say you have 2 feet of new growth on any one of your fruit trees. Well, cut a foot out of it. If you have 4 feet, cut 2 feet out of it. And that what you have left is going to be a stronger branch and more productive with the fruit the following spring. So these are just little things that will make your fruit farming a whole lot easier and better and more productive. But, and if you got a, I've had, when I've moved, when I see somebody's fruit tree that hasn't been pruned in 5 or 10 years, I have to explain all this while I'm standing there with them in their yard and saying, well, we need to do this, this, and this, and this. And they start to cringe, and I say, hey, it's going to look strange, but it's going to be more productive and a whole lot healthier. And so far, about 99% of them have trusted me to do that. And over the years, we've pruned, thousands of trees here in Douglas County and made them better. So just think of that when you're cutting your own fruit trees in your yard, or even your shade trees, something like that. Just eyeball it, stand back once in a while, get different views of it and say, oh yeah, I forgot to get that branch, or I got to get that branch, or this and that. So one other way to eliminate this problem is to, like I say, thin out the fruit by about 30 to 50%, and that fruit that remains will be large and not break any of your branches. And that's the good thing. And the good thing is to see the commercial fruit growers, how they prune and their orchards, and they top them every winter. And as part of your pruning, you check on the old branches, like they have any damage, and they have a split bark, any bugs on it, and remove them. Get them out of there. You don't want them to, if there's some bugs or something rot or on a branch, get it out of there, because it'll eventually spread to the rest of the tree. Not overnight, but eventually. So just eliminate it right off the bat. And your finished product should be open to allow air circulation and sunlight to penetrate the trees and the canopy, and you'll just get a nicer looking tree, and it'll look good. And we'll be back in a minute.
All right, 4:36, the Mike Witters Lawn and Garden Show, on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, it is 4:40, 20 minutes away from 5 o'clock, and 673-4464 is your direct connection with the Commissioner of Dirt.
The direct connection. I like that. Yeah. I'm surprised he said that.
Seven simple numbers can change your life.
It would change your yard.
Which could change your life.
Yeah, in a good way, actually.
So, call now. Operators are standing by.
Yeah, the operator is standing right next to me. So, and I'm talking about fruit trees, so I'm going to continue with this for a little bit because it's important, and we're getting to that time where it should be done. So if I repeat myself, that's because there's some people just turning in or some people just listened and they didn't hear it all the first time around. So when pruning your fruit trees, there are several things to look at. You look at last year's new growth. And you think, how much of that did it grow? And if it's going wild, you need to cut it back, like I say, 50% or so. And the new fruit will be abundant, and the new growth on the top that is too small and strong to support a lot of fruit will not be there to mess anything up. And for instance, you know, apples are heavy, and too many on the new growth may break the branch. So what good is that? So what good are the apples? They don't get, the tree gets deranged and ugly, and you get no apples. So cut it back to strengthen the branches, and you'll still get a lot of fruit and no damage to the tree. Simple as that. When with plums, you may have the same problem because plums put a lot of fruit on one branch. I mean, there's not one here and one there. It's like there's 14 of them all in one bunch, and that's a lot of weight. You know, 14 plums, you might think, well, that's nothing. Yeah, it's a few pounds, and if it's a small branch, it can do damage. So on fruit trees, cut back at least, like I say, at least a third of the new growth, and those are the wimpy branches. And thin them out at the same time. I've seen many backyard trees with broken tops because of the weight of the fruit. And, you know, most folks really are afraid to prune trees because they're going to hurt them. No, it's going to strengthen them. It's like taking their wounds and fixing them. So on the other way, one other way to eliminate the problem is to thin out the fruit by about 30 to 50%. While it's growing, if it's too, you know, it's not ripe at that time, but there's a lot of fruit, go ahead and thin it out. That way air can get to it, sunlight can get to it. It'll just grow better and ripen properly. So, and it won't break any branches because it's not going to be that heavy. And a good thing to see are how the commercial fruit growers prune their orchards. They top them every winter as part of your pruning. Why don't you check all the old branches that have any damage and see what they need? And if they have split bark, like I said, remove them. Your finished product should be open to allow, like I say, air circulation and sunlight. I repeat that because that's the most important thing when you're doing the fruit tree thing in your yard. You want to get the best bang for the buck there. And that way the fruit will be larger and ripen more evenly, and it'll also be less opportunity for disease or insect damage to occur. So you're keeping your tree healthy, your fruit good, and it's a pretty tree at the same time. I had several fruit trees over the years, and some I pruned very drastically just to see what would happen fruit-wise. I removed like 75% of all small new branches and cut back the remainder 50%, and just as an experiment. I didn't do it to all the trees. I just did it to a few to compare, to see some comparison between those that I didn't do so heavy and those that I did really heavy. And a result, I had larger fruit with no disease and very healthy trees on the trees that I cut back severely. But I didn't have any disease on the other trees, but I had too much fruit on some of them because I had so many branches. And another point on, excuse me, on fruit trees, and we have so much rain, sometimes into the spring, the remaining branches get stronger and bear much fruit. So the bottom line is, don't be afraid to prune. I've said it 1,000 times on this radio show. It's let's get out there with some good tools, and it's good for the tree. The tree looks good, and it's good exercise for you as well. Any unpruned tree will have too many branches, and any fruit will be shaded and not grow to their fullness and their ripeness.
So we've got a phone call.
We got a phone call. All right, I'm
and
ready.
You're on Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show. What's your question?
Well, you're talking about pruning. I took down an old tree a couple of years ago, planted a couple October glories, which are in their full glory right now, of course.
Uh-huh.
My question is, though, there's a sprinkling system in there, and the roots are up on the surface of the lawn. I'm mowing roots in some places. Do I wait till the fall or winter when it's totally dormant and start cutting some of those roots out of there? What do I do with that so I don't kill the trees?
Now, how old are these trees?
11 years.
11 years. Can you build a bed around them, like, that eliminate the lawn, say, 6 feet around them, and then put some bark mulch in there instead? So you didn't have to mow over the roots?
Well, that might be the thing, but it's a pretty small yard. It probably should not have put in two things on.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, I did. So, yeah, I don't know what to do. So I don't know if you can do that or not. But like I say, I don't know if I can prune those roots out or not without killing
them. Well, it depends on, the size. Are they major roots? Do they look like, inch or two in diameter? Or are they just smaller ones, like maybe?
There's a couple. Most of the ones that are heading on the mower right now are about an inch in diameter,
okay,
or less.
Okay. And you've just scarred just part of the root, the top part where the mower gets, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's not going to kill the tree. It weakens it a little bit, but it won't kill it. And if you can somehow eliminate the lawn that around the tree that you're mowing, if you can eliminate that grass and, like I say, cover it with rock, cover it with bark or sawdust or something like that, and it would be decorative, and it also would hold moisture into the ground, and just mow around it, make a design or something like that. That's about the only thing I could think of.
It might be part of the problem. There's not much grass. It was turf years ago, and it's just kind of gone away, and it's going to poison the thing and start over, and now we got this problem. So there's not a lot of grass out there. So I suppose I could put the bed around it like you're talking about. And
yeah. And it would be decorative, and you'd have less stuff to mow.
Or take the chainsaw out and shorten the trees down, huh?
Yeah, that's the other alternative, but I didn't want to mention that to you.
Yeah. All right, I appreciate it, Mark. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you for the call. That's a hard one. I mean, when you've got some older trees and you've got lawn mixed in there, that's why. If you're planting an orchard in your yard, plant it where there's no lawn. Plant it where there's nothing else growing. Put it in the back corner of the yard, or take half of the backyard and make it into a mini orchard, whatever you want to do. But don't do it so that you got grass around it. Because some roots will come to the surface. Why? I don't know. It could be the soil is heavier underneath and they can't penetrate it as well. So they just go along the top part of it where the living is easy. In other words, the water, the fertilizer, the sunlight, that kind of thing. I'm not sure why that happens exactly. But if you're planting a brand new tree, just make sure that you don't have other things growing around that you have to mow. And I think you'll be in a whole lot better shape. I hope that gentleman gets that thing done. But I'm talking orchards today. I'm talking fruit trees and that kind of thing. You want to, let's see, the way I was talking on the last segment about the pruning and the finished product of the tree and what you want it to look like. And when you do light pruning and thin out the tree, like I said, the fruit will be larger and they'll ripen more evenly. And that's good. And there'll also be less opportunity for disease or insect damage to occur because there's less fruit. And I've had several fruit trees over the years, and some I pruned very drastically just to see what would happen fruit-wise. I removed 75% of all small new branches and cut back the remainder of it to about 50%. And as a result, I had larger fruit with no disease and very healthy young trees. And it's just because I said, well, let me try this. I didn't try it on all my trees. I took like half the trees and I tried it on that just to see what the comparison would be the following year. So once I saw that it works and it was still good and productive, I did it to the rest of the trees. It's an easy thing. We'll be back after the break.
All right, 4:50 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
All right, the final segment, about 6.5 minutes left with Mike Winters, so you've got an opportunity to call, but you better call quickly.
Yeah, and it's 673-4464. Okay, that's quick. So I'm talking about fruit trees and how to prune them and how to get more fruit out of them and that kind of thing. And just think of this. An unpruned fruit tree will have too many branches, and any fruit will be shaded and not grow to their full capacity. Some of them will on the outside where they can get sunlight and air circulation, but a lot of them won't get to where they should be going unless they've got some space in which to grow, a space where the sunshine or the rain or whatever can get on them. And not all the trees are pruned the same way, you know. at the box stores, you can get a book on pruning with pictures and everything else, and it'll show you the before, the after, and this and this and that. And it's a good starting point. And once you get started, you'll see the net result of your work, and you're going to learn more by that. And if not, just call the show here, and I can give you all the information you want.
Somebody just did. You're on the mic. Winters Lawn and Garden Show. What's your question?
Again? Hi.
Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, I got a question, Mike.
Yes.
By an hour. Do you have to have more than one tree, an apple tree, to produce apples? Do you have to have two or three or something? Or can you just have a single apple tree?
Well, there are single apple trees that are self-pollinizers, but to make sure, you might want to get two different types of apple trees and, have them within, 30 feet of one another so the bees can go back and forth. And that's your best way, and that's how you're going to get your best production.
Gotcha.
We had no apples last year.
Yeah, we didn't have any apples last year at all. Red Delicious that I planted about 6 years ago, and the year before that we had a lot.
Uh-huh.
But it was I had pruned it, and I skipped a year without pruning it. Made the difference, I think.
Uh-huh.
Without apples. Okay, well, I thank you very much.
Well, thank you for the call, Aaron.
All right, 673-4464. I've got time to get one more call in, probably.
One more call, and I'm not going to talk about pruning for the rest of the show if you don't hurry up and call me about pruning. No, pruning is good. The fruit trees are going to respond well, and that's not just fruit trees. I'm focused on fruit trees now because there's fruit coming on them, and we've been eating apples and pears at our house for, the last week. And, my wife chops them up and puts them in salad, or we just have pieces, you can munch on, that kind of thing. And, it's good to have those trees, and I prune them every year. I make sure that the main bearing branches are thinned or pruned back a little bit so they get stronger and thicker and more diameter. So if I get an abundance of fruit on them, it's not going to break the branch. That's the deal. So go shopping, take a look around, get some books to read on fruit trees and how to plant them. And, you'll have an impressive amount of produce in no time at all. It takes You might, some of them you might get, you know, in the first year you plant it, but that's rare. But the second year that it's been in the ground and has that opportunity to mature a bit, you're going to be amazed at how many apples or pears or plums or whatever your peaches. It doesn't matter. I avoid peaches because they're kind of a fussy budget to take care of. But, you know, apples, pears, plums, yeah, you can't beat them. It doesn't seem like anything hurts them. There'll be a few worms here and there that pop up. But you can spray. You can spray when they're dormant in the winter, and pre-growth spray and keep most of the varmints out. But you might have to spray them another time or two while they're growing. But you want to do it on a cool, very cool morning or a very cool evening after the heat of the sun and the sun has gone down. And you'll be amazed at the productivity that you can get even out of a small tree. And any tree that you're going to buy is going to be, you know, six, seven feet, maybe 8 feet tall at the most, and have like an inch or inch and a half diameter. So it's ready to go. It's ready to produce. You'd be amazed at how quickly they'll put out flowers and bloom. And all those flowers, those are future apples or future plums or cherries or whatever you want, whatever type of tree it is. And the bees will come and do their number and pollinate it, and you'll just be amazed at how much free fruit you can get. And as the years go by, it gets better. As long as you keep pruning and shaping and keeping it in the productivity style that it's been accustomed to. So hope you learned something today. I hope that you have great success in your garden, and you will take some of my information and put it to use, and you'll be amazed at what you can get from that. And wherever you buy a fruit tree, always ask whoever's selling it to you, ask them, hey, how do I take care of this? How often do I water it? How often do I fertilize it? What type of fertilizer do I use? All those are good questions to get, so don't hesitate to ask. And if they don't know, go to a different place. Is that it?
Well, you've got about 40 seconds left.
40 seconds? Oh, and we've got time for three phone calls, I know. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I thought this would be a good time to talk about pruning fruit trees because, like I said, our trees, I don't think I have half a dozen, but I've got three or five, something like that. I lose track. And they've been in the ground 2 years, and they're doing very, very well. So even young trees will give you some food. Thank you for listening.
All right, 673-4464. Remember that number next week and call in and listen. We'll have this up as a podcast soon at 541radio.com. Coming up on 5 o'clock from News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.